there's over 2 billion Instagram users. Mm. Over 2 billion Instagram users alone, right?
Yeah.
That is a plentiful harvest field. Because if you go on Instagram, it's not about the gospel. If anything, it's promoting the culture. And that's where we need to be. Yeah. What did Jesus do? He didn't hang out in the temples with the Pharisees and the Sadducees trying to convert them and try to bring them closer. He spent his time calling tax collectors out of trees and having dinner with prostitutes and people who were of ill repute and the marginalized of society. He was going and bringing light to the areas that needed it the most and had the ability to bring the most impact. And that's what social media can do for you today.
Welcome to the Huntley Leadership Podcast, helping leaders be a positive catalyst in the people they support, the organizations they serve, and the communities they live. This podcast will make you think, laugh, and grit your teeth with new determination to make your parish or business a place of transformation, passion, and purpose. If you're still breathing, you are powered for impact.
So, Khalil, welcome to your studio. And it's great that you get to sit on, like you said, the fun side.
Father, that's the fun side. Father Declan, thank you for letting us use your space.
That's true. Yes, grounded space. In faith.
Yeah, grounded in faith. Father Declan, SJ Plus. Yeah. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, it's fun to be here.
I'd say it's an honor and a pleasure, but it's so much more.
Well, it's funny because we've done it. Anybody that's watching this now say, hey, I know that guy.
Yeah, hopefully.
Right? Anytime people are going to see his place.
Or not hopefully. I don't know.
Well, hopefully. Yeah. But it's just so great because we get to have these fun conversations. One of the things I want to talk about today, it's your passion, and I get motivated by your passion. But I want to frame it up in the context of post-COVID, because I think COVID took absolute neophytes, like people that had zero computer experience or camera experience or online experience, and they just knew that they had to somehow use their phone or something to get their mass out there.
Yeah.
But what it did was it educated a whole generation in things like Zoom and live stream and things like that. And some people may have pulled back after the shutdowns of COVID, but you guys haven't. You guys continue to double down on media as a parish. Why?
I think it flows from our understanding of what a parish is and not to wade into the technicals of, because there's canonical definitions of what a parish is, geography and territory. But we live in an age where, let me take a step back, because I do want to get to that point, but it doesn't make sense without the context. And the context for us is, innovation has always been a part of what it means to be church. Mm-hmm. It's in our DNA. And I think it's something that we've lost sight of. Mm. So you ask yourself, and I'll do the abridged version. We can unpack as you'd like. Yeah. If St. Paul were alive today, would he be on Facebook and Instagram and on YouTube and on Spotify? And would he have podcasts? And would he do all those things?
Right.
Whatever he could to leverage for the sake of spreading the gospel and advancing the kingdom.
Right.
I think we could all, I mean, the guy who went from town to town getting run out with mobs and stonings and in a period where traveling was dangerous, who spared no expense, I think he would have done something as easy as buying a couple of mics and turning on a camera in the studio. So I think innovation is part of our DNA as church. It's something that we need to reclaim.
So you're saying as church, you're not just saying as our parish. You're saying no, as church.
As like, church universal.
Yes.
I mean, let's reclaim this identity as innovators. Mm. Like I said, that is a deep conversation, one that I love. But when we're talking about media, that is the new frontier. And that is where people are. And so if we're going to keep this mentality of we need people to come to us in order for church to happen. Mm-hmm. A, what is your definition of what church happening means? Mm-hmm. But then there's this passive mode of trying to reach people. Mm-hmm. We want to go beyond the pews, beyond our walls, beyond our doors in order to reach people where they are. Because we know statistically, you look at what Gallup's doing, what Pew's doing, people aren't coming to church. They're not coming to church regularly.
Yeah.
If they're coming to church, they're not necessarily believing in the real presence in the Eucharist. Mm-hmm. Like all of these markers that we look for traditionally, they're not happening anymore.
Right.
And so how do we put on a missionary mindset and say, how can I reach those that aren't ready to come to us?
Even if kids are going to Catholic schools and even if people are going through the sacraments, it's still not happening.
Oh, no. I mean, what's one of the complaints that you hear the most from parents? It's like, and it's one that I'll hear tangentially, but, and even directly, what did I do wrong? I put my kids through Catholic school. We would go to Mass regularly, but they grow up and they get confirmed. And I'm one of them. I got confirmed and I graduated. Like, peace. See you later. Peace. Yeah. Thanks. You know?
Yeah.
And my
you did
mom
your best. It didn't work. I'm out of here.
That's it. Yeah. And I was gone. I went into sports. I went into friends. I went into things that probably we would want to get into in this podcast that people get into.
Yeah.
And I had to find my way back.
Mm.
But I found my way back through media. So
really,
this is before YouTube. I mean, I'm not that old. I mean, the grays might betray and the lack of hair, but YouTube was only founded in 08. So we're not talking that long ago.
Right.
For me, it was like 2005. I started listening to evangelical pastors on the radio because that's who was on the radio.
Right.
It was Bishop Barron. It was Father Larry Richards.
Right.
Father John Carapi. That was it.
It's true.
That's all I can get. So in absence.
So you devour that stuff and.
I'd listen to that stuff. But then who really attracted me were these evangelical ministers, the fire and the passion. And they were on the radio. They had websites. You can follow them. They had books. They had, at the time, they were using everything they could to reach people and they got me. Right. And that's the goal.
Yes.
And I just fell in love with it. And so what my path of return was, it was really through them and through their utilization of new technology to proclaim the message and to get their hooks back into people.
Yeah.
And as I was being reeled in, because I know it was ultimately God that was, he had me on the line and he was the one that was reeling me in because it's all grace. The more I asked questions and the more I probed and I grew in faith, the shallower I felt that well was. Because my return was an intellectual one. Mm-hmm. And so I started turning to Catholic tradition and to the scholastics and the St. Thomas and the richness and the wealth within the church.
Yes.
But who got me first?
Right.
It was those that, it was those that met me where I was.
Right.
And that's what we want to do today. Right. It's like, let's meet people where they are. And where are people?
Mm-hmm.
They're on their phones.
It's true.
It's so simple.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're on their phones. I heard this thing the other day, which is so true. You look at people walking around or sitting there, they're holding their phones with both hands as if they're praying to it.
Right.
We're so attached to these devices. I mean, I've got one on my wrist. I've got one in my pocket. I've got my iPad over there somewhere. I'm sure people listening are just as equally attached. That's where people are.
Yeah.
And so COVID highlighted this need for us to bring mass online for a lot of places.
Yep.
We were already there, but we even had to get better at it. Right?
Right.
And we wanted to provide a mass experience.
And you continue to get better at it post-COVID. You continue to invest.
So what breaks my heart, Ron, is after COVID, a lot of places stopped doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Well, I don't understand the why. I've never heard a good why. I don't know. Have you heard a good why?
Well, I think one of the whys that I hear over and over again is online mass isn't mass. And so right?
Full stop. True. Yeah. I'm going to agree with you right there.
Right.
Online mass is not the full experience of mass. But what it does is it places you in front of people who aren't ready to come to mass. So there's a story we have. We'll get people that travel to our parish in St. John, Indiana, from an hour and a half away regularly.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You had Father Millett on the podcast, and he mentions there's
Orland Park or something.
Orland Park, 45 minutes away. We'll get people from O'Hare if you know the Chicagoland area. I mean, they'll travel distances. And in my mind, I'm thinking, because I'm originally from that area, I know there's like 10 churches in a 10-mile radius.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, you're choosing not to go there and you're coming here. Okay, the Holy Spirit's obviously tugging on your heart and you're resonating and you're finding this place as a spiritual home and you're connecting with people. Praise be to God. But how did you get here? She saw us online.
Right.
She saw us online and was like, I have to check this place out. She watched a couple homilies. She saw our podcast and she was like, there's energy and joy here. They're not that far. Let me go check them out. Well, now she's in our Alpha program because she wanted to get involved. Her husband, who didn't go to mass, is now going to mass with her. He's in Alpha and they're just on fire. And they're continuing to commit and to show up and invest in the community. This has become their community. I can give you a dozen stories like that. And it's not a boast. If this is anything, it's like, it's a humble plea. Brothers and sisters who are in ministry or in ministerial leadership positions, don't dismiss the impact that media and an online presence can have to help you move your mission forward. You have to have a clear vision of who you are. And that's where I kind of started and got off on a tangent. You got to keep me, keep me on point. You have to have a clear vision, and media has to be able to support the vision. Because if you do media without the vision, then it's like, what am I actually trying to accomplish? And it's not a cheap hobby.
Right. No, it's not. That's a good point.
Because there's gradations of it. I mean, it could be very simple and very accessible. All you need is a smartphone to really get started. But then you could move into like a studio with a couple cameras and some mics and right. So there's gradations to it. But just know that the impact that it can have it can be life-changing for people who aren't ready to step foot in the doors, whether because they're too far, whether there's a physical obstacle, or whether, this is the one that tugs at my heartstrings, whether there's an obstacle in their heart or their mind that's keeping them from coming back to church or coming to church for the full stuff for the first time. And those are the people that we're trying to go after. Like the ones that maybe have a conception of who Jesus is or what the church is. You know, Fulton Sheen has the great line, like there's 100 million people that don't like the Catholic Church, but you couldn't find one that doesn't like the Catholic Church when they fully understand what the church is.
Amen.
And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to make the church known for who she is and what God wants to do to you through the church. There's great organizations out there that I didn't have at the time, like Word on Fire, Ascension. Yeah. I mean, the form.org is doing great stuff. Augustine Institute's doing great stuff. You're doing great stuff in the area of parish leadership. And so the laborers are starting to multiply. Throw your hat in the ring because the harvest is so much greater with this, the statistics, and you can look this up. Anybody can. And please stop me because
I can keep going.
And please, anybody that's listening, just know that this really comes from a place of like love and passion.
Yeah.
Because I've seen the impact that it can have. There's over 2 billion Instagram users. Over 2 billion Instagram users alone, right?
Yeah.
That is a plentiful harvest field. Because if you go on Instagram, it's not about the gospel. If anything, it's promoting the culture. And that's where we need to be. Yeah. What did Jesus do? He didn't hang out in the temples with the Pharisees and the Sadducees trying to convert them and try to bring them closer. He spent his time calling tax collectors out of trees and having dinner with prostitutes and people who were of ill repute and and the marginalized of society. He was going and bringing light to the areas that needed it the most and had the ability to bring the most impact. And that's what social media can do for you today.
Well, you say that, I think to myself, I love how it's the very tool that God used to bring you home. And so that's not lost on you. And so the very way that God called you home is the very place where your heart burns the brightest in terms of the gospel and evangelization and being a part of a mission at a local parish. And it's so cool. And I just wonder, you know, for pastors out there or lay people out there that are listening, is this your passion? Is it possible that God is calling you? You're listening to this, say, I would love to do that. We don't really have anything. And if that's a person, a lay person listening to this right now, it's like, I'm a Khalil for crying out loud. Like, that's me. Like, but you know, what would your advice be to them in terms of how they might want to start and how they might want to approach their pastor or their parish pastoral council? What would you say to that?
So who am I speaking to? Is it the pastor?
The lay person.
The lay person. Okay. Love that question.
I'm a Khalil. Yeah, I'm a Khalil. I don't have his skills. I don't have his, but I have the passion and I have some skills.
I didn't have these skills and I'm still trying to develop them. I discerned to become a seminarian. Like, so when I converted back, when I reverted back into my faith, that actually, I wanted to discern the priestly vocation and I did for a while. So I was in the seminary, but I discerned out of seminary. I had it on my heart to want to have a family, but I also had it on my heart that I wanted to serve.
Yes.
And to serve specifically within the church, because you can serve while not being on staff at a parish.
Of course.
Right? And some of those people can have the greatest impact because you're bringing your gifts and your skill set and you're placing them at the service of God and of your local parish community.
Amen.
More power to you. Mm-hmm. We need more of that. So what I would say to somebody is, if you're in a parish who doesn't have who isn't utilizing these methods that are available to you, then be the one who steps up and approaches Father and take it upon yourself to see yourself as a leader who's going to implement and help bring about gradually. You don't have to gradually, hey, Father, maybe we can do a little bit better with the bulletin. Maybe we could do a little bit better with our updates to our parishioners. Maybe we could do a little bit better sharing your homily. Maybe we could do a little bit better capturing some of our testimonies. Maybe we could do a little bit better, you know, sharing the mass and bring your skills and your passion to the parish and try to speak into the vision. I guess the first thing I'd want to say is, Father, what's your vision for this place? And then how can I use communication to help you push it out? Because that's where it starts. I'm trying to clear my thoughts because I don't know why the Lord's kind of hitting me with a 2x4 with this thought. We've got two guys here that are helping us, Mike and Dale. And hopefully I get this out and then it'll clear my mind. Mike and Dale. Mike went to school for industrial safety.
Yep.
He didn't have a media background.
Right.
The guy just put together a vocation video for the Diocese of Gary.
Come on.
That would rival, I think, any production studio. So if you haven't, check it out. Is it on our YouTube channel, Mike? It's on our YouTube channel, SJE Plus.
Yeah.
Check it out. So what we found in Mike is somebody who has a passion, who's formable, he's available, he's contagious, and he's teachable.
Yes.
He's faithful. And he was able to channel that into media.
Right.
And he produced a vocations video. He's produced tons of videos for us. He's running this podcast.
Yeah.
And it's like, find people who might not necessarily, you don't need to find a seasons communications director or a seasons social media manager. Find somebody who's passionate and who's wanting to learn.
Yes.
And they'll do so much for you. We've got someone else here, Dale. Dale, and I'm gonna put you on the spot. he was slinging pizzas like 3-4 months ago. So, 7 months ago. Okay.
Yeah. It's been longer than that. Yeah.
Dale worked at the local pizza place.
Yeah.
Now.
I worked at a local pizza place.
I used to work at my dad's restaurants. So it's like we all got a background. But now he's running our mass sound. He's helping with the live stream production. He's helping with this podcast.
Right.
He's taking footage. Like, I guess what I would say to the person who's wanting to do it, understand what the vision is for your parish. How could you bring your skills to help mobilize that on media? But then for a pastor who maybe you don't have those skills, find people who are faithful, available, contagious, teachable, and who want to do communications.
It's tricky, isn't it? Because there's so many churches that I work with, and even dioceses, they don't have that person and they don't even know where to find them. But it's not that they're not there. And so if you're like so many of us, if we're in the church, it's like, how come they don't do a better job? Like we just assume that they should do a better job, but they don't know how. They don't even know how to reach out to that person because they don't even know what that person looks like. Man, if that's you, step up and stop waiting for somebody to ask you. Take the initiative. Just like you said, start small, understand the vision, say, could I help? Volunteer for heaven's sakes. You're a disciple. Get in the game and stop waiting for people to ask you. Step up. Get involved, start small, pull other people around you and help Father, help the bishop. Like for crying out loud, we're the church. Let's own this. Let's get alongside of our clergy and let's make something amazing happen like you guys are. It's so important. Mm-hmm. And if you're the clergy, then receive it. Take risks. Yeah, some people are going to complain. You might make some mistakes. It's okay.
Yeah.
That's how you grow. That's how you get good. So that's my spiel for the day.
One of the things, and that's so true. One of the things I like to do is, and we'll do this together, the guys and I, we'll get together and we'll like watch the stuff that we produced early on.
Right.
It's so
make
bad.
Make fun of each other.
It's like, we're just like, how did we put this out? Like, it's like.
Do we have no pride?
But we were proud of it at the time because that's where we were. And it's just so fun to be able to look back on your journey and how there's still so much room to grow, but enjoy the journey and know that you're helping to not just spread the gospel, but what does that mean? You're helping people encounter Jesus. Mm-hmm. And hopefully by bringing Jesus to them, you bring them to Jesus. So what I say to people that stopped broadcasting their masses, please bring them back online.
Right.
Because the person who's going to stay at home and watch mass from home, that's not a disciple.
Right.
Because a disciple knows that I need to actually be in the presence, not just of my brothers and sisters, but I need to be at the altar.
Amen.
I need the word. I need the Eucharist. It's not enough that I watch it from home. So if you're cutting it off by saying, you know, if I continue to put the mass online, people are going to come to church. You know who is going to come to church? The people that are the ones that you want to invest and mobilize and send out. Yeah. So they're the ones that their friends are like, oh, we were too busy with sports, so we just watched it online. They're the ones that are going to reach out to them and say, no, you got to be back in church.
Yeah, get your butt back.
Right?
Yeah.
So invest in the ones that show up. Don't use that as an excuse not to put your mass out there.
Right.
Because that's where people start. They start with their mass. It's the easiest thing for them to do.
Well, Khalil, you say, as you're saying that, I'm just aware that, people brought their masses online because they felt they had no choice. They had to, but they didn't necessarily have a vision. It was this urgent need. It wasn't rooted in vision, but what you're talking about is vision. And so have a vision for communications and how that could come alongside of everything else you do so you can reach more people, so that you can have a bigger front door. Maybe that's the piece that is so important. It's not whether or not you do it. It's what's your flipping vision. Make it an exciting and a good one, and then lean into it and grow and get innovative and stuff like that.
What's the point of having the vision, right? It's understanding your why. Mm. Why we exist. Mm-hmm. And then you start having the questions of how are we
going
to implement
it? Where are we going?
How are we
going
to live it out?
Yes.
So understand your why. So our why here at St. John the Evangelist, we want to be a church that loves God, loves others, and serves the poor. Mm-hmm. But we want to make disciples. We want to be disciples who make disciples.
Yes.
We want to be disciples who make disciples. Okay, that's the general vision for the parish. How can we mobilize media to do that? Mm-hmm. Well, what we want to do is bring Jesus to you, because you're obviously not here. Mm. So we can bring you to Jesus. Mm-hmm. And what does bringing Jesus to you look like? Yes, we are going to put our mass online. We are going to put our homilies online. We're going to share the word with you online. We're going to put podcasts online that unpack the faith. We're going to share testimonies of how the Lord's moving in the lives of those that are engaged and that are here. And hopefully by doing that, you're not just inspired. Mm-hmm. Outside of Sunday, because that's just 1 hour a week. Mm-hmm. But you're also inspired to join us on Sunday. Mm-hmm. So we want to help you throughout the week by putting out this content, but then we also want to tug at your heart and your mind and entice you to join us so you can catch the fire, so that God-sized hole in your heart can be filled.
Yeah.
Because the other things that you're scrolling on isn't doing it for you. Yeah. You're just getting a dopamine kick after a dopamine kick, and then eventually it gets old, and then you turn off, and then you go try to run.
It's 2 in the morning, and you
that's it.
Yeah. The I'm just wondering. This is kind of a sidebar, but are you guys going to have a media component or breakout session to the Disciple Shift Conference in 2024?
Yes. So we had one in 2023, and people actually we had a good number of people that signed up for it. Which, thank you if you are one of those people that signed up for it. We actually couldn't do it for logistics, but we're planning on doing it this year.
Okay, I just wondered.
Yeah, we're definitely bringing
it. Because you guys do great work. And I know one of the visions here at SJE is to just equip and inspire other parishes to do what they do. In fact, even myself, before we started this podcast, I'm talking to Mike and Dale, complaining about how bad I am and the things I don't know. And they're so gracious in saying, Ron, you have this piece of equipment, you have to use it differently. And I'm like, oh, thank you. It's so helpful. Because I'm that layperson out there really doesn't know what he's doing, but just daring to try to put things online and get better and learn. And there's a ton of mistakes. And I was just laughing at myself in terms of how bad my color is lately. And I'm using a green screen, all these things. I'm still trying to get my new place aligned so that it works. But that's how we get better. We stumble through it.
You don't get better by not doing it.
Right. Waiting till it's perfect and you know everything before you take a chance. Hmm. Yeah. We were talking a little bit, and I made you stop because I thought, oh, let's save this for the podcast. But you've learned so much as you continue to evolve. What's the landscape of all these different platforms? Like you said, YouTube came out in 2008. I didn't know that. I just feel like it's been there forever. Mm-hmm. But it really hasn't been that long. But Spotify and Apple Music, and like, what are some of the trends that are happening right now that people might be interested in understanding? Because I didn't understand it. So let's break that open a bit.
Yeah, that's, I love that you brought that back around. And this is something that I haven't really come to understand until recently. But when you understand it, it brings value to your how.
Right.
So you understand your why. Why do we want to do media? First, who are we as a parish? Why do we want to do media? So how are we going to do it? And there's so many different ways to do it these days. And those ways are just multiplying.
Right.
So don't get overwhelmed by that, I think would be my first thing. Commit to wanting to do something. Mm-hmm. And don't try to overextend yourself would be the other thing. Don't get overwhelmed. Don't overextend. Mm-hmm. Because there are, like I said, there are so many different platforms. Know that there's generally two categories of platform. There's a discovery platform and there's a seeking platform. Hmm. Discovery platforms are something like X or Twitter, where you go on there and you just scroll through your feed and you're looking at what's trending. You're looking at what's
okay,
right? It's a general, I'm looking to discover something new, or I'm looking, gotcha, what's relevant, what's in the news, what's
okay.
That's a discovery platform.
Neat.
Facebook, to a certain extent, operates as a discovery platform. Instagram, to a certain extent, operates as a discovery platform.
Okay.
I can follow people.
Yes.
Like you can follow Huntley Leadership. Yep. You can follow Purposely Catholic or
yep.
SJ Plus, and you can get their content, but they're also going to recommend other similar interests yep. that might appeal to you.
Okay.
Discovery platform. A seeking platform is something like YouTube, Spotify, Apple Music. Generally where you get your podcasts.
Okay.
I go to those platforms and I generally know what it is that I'm looking for.
Gotcha.
So it almost serves like a library and archive. And that's why you'll see a lot of mainstream podcasters, they're starting to do long format podcasts and they'll put those on YouTube, and someone like a Joe Rogan.
Yes.
We'll get over 10 million views on a 3-hour long conversation.
Right. And most people would say, people don't have that attention span. Why would you do it? Why don't you keep your thing super short? But he's doing the opposite.
He's doing the opposite. And a lot, I mean, that's become the norm. Mm-hmm. And that's the direction people are moving in. Why? Because they'll go on YouTube and they'll seek him out.
Right.
I'm going to look up and see what Joe's done lately. Or I'm going to go on Spotify. I'm going to see what he's done lately. Or fill in your podcast.
Right.
You know, Father Mike's your thing. I'm going to go on Apple Music and I'm going to do Bible in a Year.
Yes.
You're not necessarily going through Apple Music trying to find something new.
Right.
Right. You're not necessarily going on Spotify trying to find something new.
Neat.
You'll find that new thing on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, X. And then as you dive into it, it'll direct you to these seeking platforms. So I guess understand those. That's how these platforms operate. So I would say have a foot in one of each category.
Gotcha.
Don't try to do all of them because they're all different. Mm. I didn't even talk about Snapchat or TikTok.
Gosh,
or I mean, they're really, I mean, it's like if you tried to do all of them, you're not going to do any of them well.
Right.
So stick to trying to do one in each category and do it well. So my recommendation for a parish that's starting out, it's overwhelming to think like, what are we going to do? How are we going to do it? We got to create content.
And we got to be good at everything.
You get content every week.
Yeah.
It's the homily, right? And if your pastor is a gifted preacher, then put him online.
And if he's not, send him to Toastmasters and become a good preacher. If you're a priest, for the love of Pete, please, for the sake of the gospel, improve your preaching.
So definitely that.
I had to get that in.
Humbly, we offer that to our fathers, like, yes, please do get better.
Right.
I think we had we talked about this once, I think, on one of our previous podcasts.
Did we? Okay.
Yeah, I think we did. And so side note, pull me back.
Yeah.
I mentioned evangelical preachers were the ones that got their hooks in me.
Yes.
Well, that's because their structure of their church is set up a lot differently than the structure of our churches.
Yeah.
Our churches, Father is the CEO, CFO, CIO, CTO, like he's HR, he's everything.
Yeah.
And on top of that, he's got to be an excellent preacher.
Right.
Right. So many expectations, so many hats.
It's true.
Father can't do it all. Like I said, if you're trying to do all these platforms, you're not going to do them well.
Mm.
And we need to mobilize around Father. And Father, you have to be willing to accept the help, be able to recognize where people are gifted and talented and delegate to them and empower
free
them
up to do the very things that, and experiment, because it might not be right away that you like, geez, I look at my content, Bobby Fredrickson, who his wife's going to be on a podcast a little bit later, but he works with you on your podcast, Intentionally, Purposefully Catholic.
Yeah, Purposefully Catholic.
Purposefully Catholic. You know, he looks at my stuff. He says, how come you don't have any Instagram followers? I'm like, I have no idea. I don't understand any of these platforms. Yeah. He said, my gosh, people should be following you. I'm like, well, I don't know what to say.
And people should be following you. It's not
hard.
Easy. Like, it takes a lot of work.
I don't get it. Yeah. You know?
So you look at, to wrap up that analogy.
Yeah.
An evangelical preacher will typically, that is their primary responsibility. And so they'll put in between 10 to 20 to 30 hours a week on their sermon. Father doesn't have that luxury. So Father, you got to free yourself up.
Yeah, he doesn't have that luxury based on his current structure and his understanding of what it means to be a priest.
Amen.
And so he does all kinds of things that all kinds of other people could do if he knew how to recruit people, equip and empower people to do the very things that they could do and they're dying to do to build the kingdom of God. Instead, they end up keeping most of that to themselves. And it's not always always with good intentions because they don't want to burden anybody else. But because of that, they're not empowering anybody else. And because of that, they don't have any time for their homilies. Yeah. And because of that, they're not getting better. And because of that, people really don't want to come.
Mm-hmm. So the vision has to be there.
Yeah.
Then your structure supports the vision. And then you start understanding how I can then mobilize others to help move it forward. So it's not just on my shoulders.
Amen.
Again, simplified, but in essence, you got to free yourself up, Father, so you can do the thing that only you can do and do it well.
Yeah.
And when I say well, excellent, like to the best of your ability, crush those homilies, right? And somebody else can deal with HR. Somebody else can deal with.
And that's so hard to do. It's like, yeah, but I just got here 6 months ago. I just got here a year. And before that, I was in my previous church for 4 years. It takes time to get to know your people, to get to know their skills, to earn that trust, to bring them on board. And that's why moving priests so often is not helpful, particularly if they're fruitful. If they're not fruitful, then you can probably plug and play anywhere because they're probably not going to do anything significant anyway. But if you have a missional priest who's gaining momentum, keep them in that parish, because he's going to be able to build up an army of disciples who are using their gifts to do great things. And then you can plug people into that church and then empower them to go elsewhere, which is really, you know, it's SJE. I always invite people from all over the world to come visit you guys because they often know you ahead of time. Why? Because of your media presence. Mm-hmm. They can look you up.
Mm-hmm.
It's so helpful. Like what you're doing around all that stuff is so good. And so what other things, when you look at your own evolution?
I guess, could you hold that?
Yeah, please.
Let me finish.
Go ahead.
Other question. Yeah.
Yep.
Sorry, because I'm
no, you have to keep me on track.
Tangents, yeah. Because this could go for 2 hours and that's what we do on Purposely Catholic.
Full of
Joe. We just go for like 2 hours. But just to wrap up on the, like, if you want to get started 1 foot in each,
yes,
you have content every week.
Right.
And that content is your homily. Just crush the homily.
Gotcha.
Put it online. Put the full homily on YouTube because the people that want to seek you out will know that you're there.
That's your seeking platform.
But just cut out a minute, like the juiciest, this is the nugget we want to take home and put that on Instagram.
Right.
Just do that. Let that be your formula for a while.
Yep.
And get really good at doing that. Figure out how those platforms work.
Hmm.
Figure out what's resonating with the audiences in each platform and get really good at doing that. Then you can start adding in, if you have lay people or if you have staff members who are also good in front of a camera,
yes,
give them the freedom and the ability to turn it on themselves.
Right.
And to share how the Lord's moving in their life, to share the impact that you're having in your parish, to share what's going on, and maybe even like, we're in the middle of Lent right now. I'm not sure when you'd release this, but we're in the middle of Lent. Give reflections. Like, it's okay to empower them to do that.
Right.
And then you already have built up these two platforms to receive that content.
Right.
You're not trying to do everything at once. I'm just going to focus on in this year, in these 2 years, we're going to get good at this YouTube. We're going to get good at Instagram. And that's going to be our formula moving forward. Once we're comfortable here, then come talk to me. I'd love to have the conversation. How can we scale? How can we take a next step? If you're already there, again, come talk. There's so many resources online.
Yes. Well, that's the overwhelming part for guys like me. Like, yeah, you're right. There is. That's actually the problem. It's like booking a vacation. I get so excited to book my own vacation and I get a half an hour into it and I shut off the computer and I don't even want to go away anymore. Yeah. It's just so much information. Mm-hmm. So some people are better at sorting through that than others. And so if you have somebody like that in your church, set them loose, man. Because what you guys are doing is just so exciting. Can you give me one more story of somebody who's been impacted by the media and then?
Yeah, most recently, we actually had a comment on one of our podcast videos. Someone who's new to the Catholic Church and who's coming into the church, he's working on coming into the church now. Mm-hmm. And he's, when you're in that season of life, you're kind of newly in love. Mm-hmm. And you're looking to devour as much as you can, and you want to know as much as you can about our Lord, and you want to know as much as you can about his church. And there's this fire that just constantly needs fuel.
Yeah.
And he came across our podcast and he just sent us the most eloquent, beautiful comment. Like, thank you guys for doing this, for just being two regular guys who are talking about the faith. Yeah. Because sometimes we can present the faith. We lose sense of like the language we're using isn't that accessible.
Sure.
The way we present it can seem a little too academic.
Sure.
And we just have to sometimes be normal and have normal conversations and wrestle with issues and, well,
in real time.
Like, yeah. How can we understand, you know, a spat that, you know, happened online and,
yeah.
Or maybe Pope Francis said something. How can we clarify that? Sometimes it just takes normal people having normal conversations.
Yeah.
And he was just so moved that he had a resource like that right. to help him understand his faith more, the faith that he's looking to adopt and claim for his own. And I've been praying for him since he left that comment. Yeah. I've been still thinking about how to, because it was such an intentional comment, how to engage that comment. Engagement is really important. Some people do want to troll you, but for the people that do want to have a dialogue,
yes,
guys, it's just another fruitful way to share and to spread Christ's message.
Yeah. Mobilize your parishioners for impact. That is so helpful. And so why don't you, as we wrap up, because I'd love for people who are listening this to go and check you out, like to just check out what you're doing and see where you're at on the Seeker platforms. What are you doing on the Discovery platform? So just so that people can go right now and start checking you guys out.
Maybe the easiest thing to do, we can send you in the show notes in the description, some of the links. So if you're watching this,
of course.
Yeah. Easiest thing to do.
Great idea.
Two quick websites to check out would be sjplus.org and stjohnparish.org.
Right on.
stjohnparish.org.
Check the show notes.
And check the show notes for more links.
Yeah. Khalil, thank you so much. Thanks for having me on the show. It's so fun cracking open your passion and inspiring other people to really pick up that stirring in their heart and do something with it that's going to build the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Thank you for listening. I appreciate you being along the journey with us. Thank you for everything you do with Parish Renewal. We're just praying for you all the time that your church will be unbelievably fruitful, and let's hold ourselves accountable to bringing new people to Jesus, making new disciples, and then discipling them along the way. God bless you, and we'll see you next time.
I want to encourage you, as you lead this week, be faithful to God and generous to others. See you next time, and remember, if you're still breathing, you are powered for impact.